Turn in God's Word this evening to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Again, I want to sincerely thank the Brown family for singing to us. And that final piece was really a very timely piece, as we will come to see in a moment or two. I couldn't believe it as they began to sing there. How fitting and how appropriate in regard to what the Lord would have to say to us right now. I have not told them what I am planning to preach on this evening. I had no idea what they were singing. But I believe the Lord has directed our thoughts to the very same subject, the very same theme. I trust that God will speak to us this evening, therefore, very directly, and minister His truth to our hearts. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we want to read the first 7 verses here in this chapter. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made from Cyrenus, or when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. May God bless the reading of His truth to our hearts. Let's ask for God's help now as we come to the preaching of His word. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this meeting thus far. We thank You for the hymns of praise. We thank You, Lord, for the word of testimony. We thank You for the reading of the Scriptures. We bless You for a conscious sense of Thy presence. But Lord, now as we come to Your word, we pray, O God, Thou wouldst shut us into Thyself. You've already spoken to us. You've already ministered to our needs. You've already directed us to the truth. But we pray, O God, that now in a very forceful and a very powerful manner, we ask that Your word will come to each and every heart. You know the need of each soul here before Thee. There's nothing hid from Thee. Thou art the all-knowing, the all-seeing God. And Lord, You know exactly what we've need of. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst fit Thy word to every heart tonight, that Christ might be glorified and honored in all that is said and done. Speak to Your own people. Speak to the lost. Draw them into the kingdom. Lord, give us help now in the preaching of Thy word. These things we ask in Jesus now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The words that I want to direct your attention to this evening are the final words in verse 7 here in Luke chapter 2. Let's read again the whole verse just to get the sense. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here we are told that after Jesus Christ was born, He was laid in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. These are the words that I want us to focus upon this evening. These final words in verse 7, because there was no room for them in the inn. The subject then that we're coming to consider is simply this: no room for Christ. No room for Christ. Now here in Luke chapter 2, we are given the wonderful details concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. We are told of the place of Christ's birth. This is not an insignificant point. For over 700 years before this wonderful event, the prophet Micah had prophesied that the Savior would come forth from Bethlehem. God's servant Micah had prophesied this would be the case, that Jesus Christ or the Messiah would come forth from Bethlehem. This is what Micah said in Micah 5 verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore, Micah here is speaking of how Jesus Christ would come forth from Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And this is what God's word prophesied of over 700 years before this event actually happened. And this is a very significant event, for it proves to us, it is irrefutable evidence, that Jesus Christ, the one who was born in Bethlehem, is the same one that God had promised. Even promised 700 years prior. And so we see here the place of Christ's birth. But we're not only told in this chapter about the place of Christ's birth, we also read here of the poverty of Christ's birth. Although this was the most miraculous and wonderful child ever to be born, despite the fact that the one Mary gave birth to was the eternal Son of God and the King of Kings, yet his coming into this world was marked by humility. Great humility and poverty. He who spoke this world into being was laid in a manger. He was placed as a babe into a feeding trough for animals. Oh, what condescension. Oh, what humility. Oh, what lowliness. God's eternal Son, taking the lowest of positions as he came into this world. And so we have here the place of Christ's birth, the poverty of his birth. We also read in this chapter of the proclamation of Christ's birth. This was a wonderful thing, a heavenly thing, for the Savior's birth was proclaimed to this world by an angel declaring, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, this was an extraordinary proclamation. An angel appearing in the heaven to these shepherds and declaring the greatest news that this world has ever heard. God's promised Savior has arrived and he's come to save his people from their sins. And so, this chapter very much brings before us the details concerning Christ's birth. However, this evening, the one detail that I want us to focus upon is not the place of Christ's birth, nor is it the poverty of Christ's birth, of the proclamation of Christ's birth, but we're coming to consider the problem at Christ's birth. The problem. And that problem was there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them in the inn. In other words, even though Christ had come into this world in love and mercy to save sinners, as he was born, he was not welcomed by men. The very opposite was the case. Told here there was no room for him. There was no room. Sadly, this is still the case in many lives. Despite the truth that Christ is the great and gracious Savior of sinners, many still refuse to give him room in their hearts and in their lives. They refuse to let him in, so to speak. And this is the tragedy in our world in these days, that men and women still have no room for the Savior. No room for Christ. And thinking then of these words, I simply want us to consider why there was no room for Christ in the inn in Bethlehem. And why people still have no room for him. Why it is the case that people even in our world today have no room for Christ. In the first place, we can say there was no room for Christ because of busyness. Because of busyness. This was very much the case. As a direct result of the decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, great numbers of people had come to Bethlehem. And so the guest houses and the lodging places were simply full to capacity. When it says here in verse 7, there was no room, the word room literally means a spot. And so there was not a spot, not a place left. We might say the whole town was jam-packed. It was full with people. There wasn't one spot left, because this is what this room, this word room means, a spot. There wasn't one spot left. The place was hiving with people. Therefore, there was no room for Christ. Simply because of busyness. Because of busyness. Now, what was true physically in Bethlehem at that time is very often true spiritually in the lives of men and women. There is no room for the Savior. No room for Christ because people have so filled their lives with the things of this world. And this is why many have no room for the Savior. I believe this is the case with so many. They are so focused upon the material things of this world. So busy with life. So taken up with prospering. So taken up with possessions. So taken up with pleasure. And they
they simply have no room for Christ, or they have no room for His salvation in their lives. They're just so busy with other things. The things of this world are just the all-important things. And really, the spiritual things don't matter so much. And they have no time, they have no room for Christ. Because of the busyness and the demands of this world. The Lord Jesus spoke of this very problem in the parable which He told of the sower sowing the seed and the seed falling into four different types of ground. One type of ground which the seed fell on was thorny ground. Thorny ground. And this is what Christ says in Mark 4, verses 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Do you see here why the good seed was not able to bear fruit? It was not able to bear fruit because it was choked out by the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. In other words, just the busyness of life. And even though these people received the seed, the truth fell upon their minds and their hearts, yet it didn't bear fruit unto salvation because their heart and their lives were so filled with other things. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, these were the important things to them, the crucial matters of life. And because of these things, they didn't receive the word unto salvation. Or in the words of our text, they had no room for Christ. Let me ask you tonight, is this the reason why you have no room for Christ in your life? Busyness? The things of this world have so taken over that you have no room for the Savior. All of your concern is your work, the plans that you have for the future. All your concern is your family, or having fun, or making a fortune. And this is what you think about. This is what you're focused upon. This is what your whole attention is upon. Something in this world. And really, this has taken over. And the result is you have no room for Christ. No room for His salvation. In Mark 8, the searching questions are asked. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How many people are selling their souls for something in this world that is but temporal? Something they might have in time. And they're selling their soul to eternal ruin and damnation. Is it the case that you have no room for Christ? Simply because of busyness. This was the case in Bethlehem on the night the Savior was born. But then we also see here there was no room for Christ because not only of busyness, but also because of blindness. Blindness. The sad reality was the people that were filling the inns and lodging places in Bethlehem at that time were ignorant. And they were blind in regard to Jesus Christ. They failed to grasp the truth that the one born of Mary and lying in a manger where animals were housed was the great Savior of sinners who had come into this world to earn for men and women salvation and eternal life. They were blind to this glorious truth. Completely blind. They were ignorant of it. And so because of this blindness, because of this ignorance, they felt no need to make room for the Lord Jesus. And this is why they had no room for Him. Because they were unaware of who He was. They were unaware of His significance, or of His importance, of His glory and of His majesty, of who He truly was. And so in their blindness, and in their ignorance, they really felt no need to make room for Christ. No doubt had the people in Bethlehem understood something of the significance and truth of who it was that had just been born, then they would not only have made room for Christ, but they would have given to Him the highest place. And they would have worshipped at his feet. If they had realized this was the very one who at the end of time will stand in judgment upon them, they would have given room. They would have made room. Yea, more than that, they would have worshipped him. However, despite the fact that the Son of God and the Savior of the world was in their very midst, they, because of the most terrible ignorance and blindness, had no room for him. No room for him because of blindness. Once again, there is a very important spiritual lesson to learn here. How many live and die having no room for Christ in their lives simply because they're spiritually blind. This is their condition. This is the sad and tragic reality for multitudes of people. Jesus Christ has come into this world. He has lived a sinless life and he's died an atoning death on the cross, taking the full punishment for sin. And this is what Jesus Christ has done. And this is why he came to this world. As we thought upon this morning, he came into this world to die. He came into this world to save his people. He came into this world to make the slaves of Satan the very sons of God. And this is the great purpose for which Christ has come. This is why he was born in Bethlehem's manger. To save sinners. All then that is necessary to be forgiven and to inherit eternal life is found in him. Salvation in full is found in him. And yet despite the fact that God has provided a full and free salvation in Jesus Christ, men in the blindness of their sin, they live as if Christ did not even exist. And this is how the vast majority live in our world. As if Jesus Christ did not even exist. As if he had never been born. As if a Savior had never lived. As if a Savior had never died upon the tree. As if a Savior had never rose from the dead. They live as if he was not of any value or worth. They have no room for him. Because in their own spiritual darkness, they do not see the worth that he is and what he can provide for sinners. Perhaps this is even the situation in your life. You have no room for the Lord Jesus because you just feel no need of him. You feel no need of him. And that's the truth of the matter. You're having a good time in this world, getting on with your life and enjoying things, and really, you're not really concerned about salvation. You're not really interested in the Word of God or in Jesus Christ. You're just busy getting on with things. And you don't see yourself as a bad person. So you don't really need to be saved. You're as good as the next person. Well, listen to the words of John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. See what Christ is saying here? Believing on him, believing on the Son, means that you've got eternal life. You've got life. You've got salvation. And of course, believing in the Son, there's really another way of saying you have room for Christ. You're trusting him as your Savior. You're inviting him into your heart and life to be your King and Lord. This is what it is to believe. And when one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they have life. Their sins are forgiven. They're born again, made new people. And they have a home in heaven, and one day they will be with Christ, which is far better. One day they will go to live in glory with their Savior. That is to those who believe. Christ also says here, but all that believe not the Son. In other words, all who refuse to give him room, the wrath of God abideth on them. That is God's punishment, God's wrath and God's condemnation abides upon all that will not give Christ room, that will not repent and turn to Him for salvation. Sinner, you need to understand this tonight. It's vital you grasp this. And if you take nothing else out of this meeting, you take this. That you need Christ. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. You need Christ. This is the most vital truth that people need to understand. You cannot live and you cannot die without Christ and go to heaven. He's the Savior. And if you do live and if you do die without Christ, it is guaranteed you'll go to outer darkness. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, I do not want you to live in blindness and in ignorance in regard to the person of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be like the people in Bethlehem who had no room for Him because they were ignorant of Him. I want to tell you the truth of Him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a blessed Redeemer. And He gives life more abundant. Therefore, come to Him tonight. Repent of your sin. Open your heart door to Him. As we've heard already in song. And take Him to be your Savior. And your Lord. These people in Bethlehem, they had no room for Christ because of busyness, because of blindness. But in the last place we see here, there was no room for Christ because of badness. Because of badness. This is also something I believe we can deduce from this passage. Think again of the situation that is described here. In verse 5, we are told Mary was great with child. She was great with child. That is, she was very close to that time when she would give birth. Very soon she would give birth. Now, we are not told how long a period of time Mary and Joseph had been in Bethlehem before she actually gave birth. Very often it is implied that Mary gave birth the very night that she and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. And this is often how it is conveyed and how it is often thought of. However, verse 6 here in Luke 2 would suggest that they had been in Bethlehem for at least a number of days. See what it says in verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. It's clearly the thought here that Mary and Joseph had been in Bethlehem for a period of days. Because while they were there, the days were accomplished. And so this would imply that she'd been there for at least a number of days. Nevertheless, in this period of time, over these number of days, there was no one that had compassion on Mary. Even in her vulnerable condition, no one had compassion. No one had sympathy. No one gave to her and her unborn child place of shelter. No one did. Mary and her babe were forced into an animal shelter simply because of the hardness and the selfishness of the hearts of men. And this is what we see here. Here were people who were cold and callous towards a woman in a vulnerable position. Now, this is ultimately why men and women have no room for Christ. Because they, by nature, have hearts that are ruled by sin. Because man's heart is hardened by sin. And this is why people have no room for the Savior. Prophet Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is man's heart. The Lord Jesus declared in Matthew 7, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." This is the natural state of all men and all women. This is the heart they have been born with. This heart that is filled with deceit, that is filled with every sin and every wickedness. Therefore, man by nature will have no room for Christ. Man in sin will always choose self above the Savior. Exactly what we see in this passage. This is what men do by nature. These people were not concerned about Mary or her condition. They were totally unconcerned. They were only concerned about themselves. And this was what men do and said. They have no concern for Christ. And all their concern is for themselves. And how they can please themselves and live in sin. And this is ultimately why the world turns its back on the Savior. The Lord Jesus has come into this world in love and in mercy. He was born in Bethlehem's manger. He came to die. He went to the cross. He shed his blood that people might be saved. What a provision that is. He invites sinners onto himself lovingly and graciously. And he says, if you come, I'll forgive you all of your sin. I'll pardon all your iniquities. And I'll give to you life more abundant and eternal life, a place in heaven itself. This is his promise. And yet what do men do? They turn their backs. They reject him. Because sin rules in the hearts of men and women. Because of badness. You see, to reject Christ as your Savior, to refuse him room in your life is really the greatest evidence that you are a sinner. This is the greatest evidence that you are a sinner. And you're a sinner with a sinful heart. A heart in rebellion against God. This is the evidence, the real evidence. You're not good. And how you know you're not good is because in sin, you reject the only one that is good. Jesus Christ. This is the greatest evidence that man in sin has got a wicked and sinful heart. Because he rejects the one who is good and holy and pure. And that is Jesus Christ. The most righteous thing the people in Bethlehem could have done at that time was to make room for the Savior. Imagine this had happened. Imagine there had been one that recognized who this person was and said, listen, come in. There is room. I will give you room. I will give you space. I will give up what I have for you. That would have been a tremendous thing, a most glorious thing. Let me say this. This is still the right thing for sinners to do. To give room for Christ in their hearts and life. To receive him. Not to reject him. Not to continue on in sin. Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Will you give him room in your life? Will you give him room in your heart? I trust that each one here this evening will by faith make room for Christ. And that each one will receive him who is the great Savior of sinners as their Savior and Lord. May God be pleased to bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.